All right, I'm now talking to Mike the Truth Jackson. He's about to fight Dean the Sniper Barry on January 20th at Abu Dhabi at Fight Island. How are you, sir?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Yeah, not too bad. How excited are you for this matchup? This looks a lot like it's going to be a stand-up fight, coming that you're both coming from, you know, stand-up backgrounds, kickboxing backgrounds. How excited are you for that matchup?
Oh man, I'm letting the matchup is what it is. But for me, I'm more excited about having the opportunity to display my art, my talent to the world. Because I feel I have like some gifts, right? And I feel that, you know, people be entertained by them, and especially like if you're a real fight fan and a fighting enthusiast, you're gonna enjoy some of the skills that I have and that I'm going to put on display on January 20th.
Right. Now, with Dean, is there anything you can particularly pick out that has caught your eye about him as an opponent?
No, I mean, guys coming from the karate kind of kickboxing world. He's not gonna present anything that I haven't seen before. I've been in the sport a long time, coming up on 13 years here. You know, actually, I thought about it not too long ago with this fight. I would now have fought in three different decades. So, like I said, I've been in this sport for quite a while, and I've seen it all. You know, and I just don't feel that. And let me rephrase. I shouldn't say I've seen it all, but I've seen there's nothing that he possesses as far as his skills that I haven't seen. So for me, it's more so the danger game, because he's a very dangerous opponent. Like and not to take anything away from him or anything like that. I can't go in there like, you know, slacking or anything like that. He's very dangerous with his skills and what he is able to do. But again, I understand the danger. I've seen the danger before. I've dealt with it, and I'm going to be able to deal with the January 20th.
And I understand that you are 6'2", whereas Dean is 5'10". A lot of time these stand-ups, he's 5'10". Yeah, he's 5'10". So there is a little bit of a height difference, which typically translates over to a reach difference as well, which would favor you. I believe you also have a bigger frame as well. Do you feel like your size advantage could play influential in the fight?
Oh, 100%. So for me, I like to focus on things that I'm either have gifted or that I'm talented in, or I have that's a gift. And for me, I do have a good size reach, and being that he's coming up, because I did hear that he is. I know he's competed at 55 and at 70, or maybe like at 65, and I've boxed at 65. I just didn't know what his size is, because I mean, I competed at 55 before, you know. But now that I know that, that's going to give me a little bit more of an advantage. And it's an advantage for me because I know how to use, I use my length well, and he's going to have to figure that out. Dean isn't he's dangerous, but he's not going to present anything that I haven't seen before.
Right. So I would say that Dean is a dangerous striker coming from his kickboxing background. He's been looking good with his record and fighting Island under SBG. But it sounds like to me your veteran mindset is telling you, I've been here before. I've fought these fights before. I've fought other kickboxers. That there's no different challenge.
Nah, you know, it's not, I feel for me, it's going to be a great opportunity. Like I said, in the beginning to show my skills, and this is going to be and styles make fights, you know. If this was a guy who was very heavy on the grappling game, it would make for a different fight. But this is I get the Dean Barry, who's a sniper, who is a world champion in his sport, from what I hear, you know. So I'm excited, man. And again, it's the competition. Like, I love, that's why I look, I don't have to fight, man. I fight because I love it, man. Like, there's not a lot of people who can say that, you know. There's a lot of people who get into sport because they love it, but then they kind of get trapped and they go down this thing where, all right, I'm a fighter, and that's kind of the lifestyle you live. And that can be a, man, that's a difficult lifestyle, right? But for me, man, I just do it because I love the sport. And you have to love the sport to go in there. Like, I'm willingly letting someone, you know, try to hit me in the face, right? Try to knock me. So there has to be some kind of love there. So that's why I do it. And that's my only motivation, you know, is just to entertain and do something I love, you know, because again, not a lot of people get to do that. They have to work like these jobs and these monotonous tasks and things like that. And I'm fortunate enough to not be in that situation.
Right. So I wanted to segue to that too. Your last fight, I'm looking up, is 9th of June, 2018. So that's coming up over 2 years now. It's kind of like a two-part question. One, what was that like fighting that long ago? And two, what were you doing in that hiatus? What kind of skills were you sharpening during that process?
What was it like
fighting 2 years ago in the UFC? I know you've had fighting bouts since then, but what was it like fighting 2 years ago in the UFC?
I haven't fought since the Punk fight, but no, I mean, for me, man, like it's just that. It's like I've been here before. I've been in this sport for like I said, this is a third decade. Like I'm fighting. I've been fighting since 2008. For me, it's another fight. It just so happens that fight is in the UFC, right? And for me, but that's the other thing. Like I'm a different kind of like scenario and situation. Like I'm not just a guy who found fighting, working his way, trying to be the best, trying to get into the UFC, trying to be champion. Like that was never my motivation or my goals. Like for me, it was just something fell in my lap. I found that I was good at it and I pursued it. So I've always been doing the training thing. Like I never stopped training. So that was one thing that I've been doing as far as like during the hiatus, but I'm always around the sport, man. Like my life revolves around fighting, whether I'm inside the cage, whether I'm outside being a media personality, a photographer, whatever I'm doing, it's revolved around fighting. So that's really it, man. I've just been training and taking pictures of people getting beat up and just enjoying the ride, man, enjoying the life.
Now, when you look back on that CM Punk fight, I know afterwards you didn't really hold that much bitter feelings against Dana and things like that, but when you reflect on it 2 years later, what stands out to you about the CM Punk fight and how Dana's reaction afterwards?
I mean, I understand why. Like again, from his perspective, I get it. Like I just went out here and I basically beat up his cash cow. I made it so he couldn't make any more money off of him. So again, I understand like why the dude was upset, you know. I don't take it personal. Like I don't know him like that. He don't know me like that. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? So he can say whatever it is he wanted to say. I'm not losing no sleep over it, you know. So at the end of the day, he said what he said, and I'm still enjoying my life.
Right. So it seemed like they were bringing CM Punk around to bring a lot of the WWE fans on, and they expected CM Punk, after 2 years of training MMA, to at least have some skills that translated over. But when you fought him, it's showed that there was certainly levels to this, and certainly a veteran fighter like you, it's not going to take much to beat someone the likes of CM Punk. Do you think that was a weird situation, like a weird business move from Dana?
Not at all. That's exactly what it was. It was a business move. Like you can't fault the guy for thinking outside the box and trying something out. That was all it was. Because again, at the end of the day, the UFC is a business, and a business's main objective is to make money and to make a profit. And if they paid this, like out of the two fights, he got like $1 million. Think about how much money he generated for the company if they paid him $1 million.
Right.
Like I said, at the end of the day, it was more like it was a business decision. And I can't fault them for doing that. It led to me being sitting here talking to you. So thank you.
So now that you're now fighting again, is there, it sounds like you've came back for the love of it. You've came back to the love of it. During that period of time, were you just itching for a fight? You were itching to, how did this fight actually present itself when it came with Dean Barry? When were you actually approached with it?
Well, I mean, it's been highs and lows just given the current state of the world with the pandemic going on. But even since then, it's been, I get the itch to fight because like I'm at a fight, watching, taking pictures of fights. And then like a few days later, like, all right, well, I don't have that drive or motivation to fight. It just, the opportunity arose between, I heard his management got my name and it just kind of rallied from there. And, we got the opportunity and we was like, yo, let's do it.
Now you spoke about being a photographer. Now you've been doing that for a while now. Was it Fury Championships that you were taking photos of? How did that present itself as well? How did you get into the business of taking pictures of these pretty brutal fights?
Yeah. So, man, for me, everything seems to be at the right place at the right time and who I know. Backed around maybe like around 2009, 2000, yeah, around that time. Because I started my coverage of MMA doing video blogs. This was early on when the content that's out now, you didn't get that back in it, especially at the local level, right? So I'm getting this access that no one really has the privilege to, like myself. So I'm just using that to my advantage. And then I kind of, one day I was like, yo, you're good at taking pictures too. Why don't you try that out? And being that I know fighting, that helped out with the photography. Because I've been taking pictures ever since I was a kid. But being at the fights, doing the video blogs, I just saw it was a great opportunity for me to kind of, and again, earlier, there wasn't what it is now as far as like the coverage. And so I just, for me, I've always been a hustler, man. I've always had that mentality. And again, right place, right time, who I know. And then that kind of parlayed itself, me kind of just shooting for independent shows. And then I have people like Fury who bring me in and I do photography. I do help run the production, the music. So again, my life is fighting, man, one way or the other.
Right. So we've got production of fights and we've got fighting. Is there any other like hidden talents that we don't know about that we don't typically see on your social media? Is there anything like hobbies or talents that we typically don't see?
Probably. I don't know, man. I do so much stuff, man. I don't know. I shoot burlesque. I go to burlesque shows. I like them. Those are cool. Man, I do like some antiquing. Like, I love vintage shopping. But people see that with like some of the clothes and the t-shirts that I wear. A lot of vintage t-shirts and things like that on my social media. So people cash it out. But man, I don't know. I do the Truth Food Tour. I love to eat. So it's a lot, man. You just got to check out the social media, man. About to go in here and get some training in right now. Once we get back into fight season, we kind of add that to the social media as well. So I'm just an eclectic guy, man. You get a mix of things with me.
Now that you're getting ready to fight Dean Barry, you're going to be moving to Fire Island in order to fight there because of the COVID pandemic. How excited are you to move to an island literally built for the UFC?
I'm not excited at all. It's just, it's part of business for me. That nothing more than that. It's just business. If it wasn't for the fight, I wouldn't be there right now.
Right. Okay. Now, previously you also talked about when you fought CM Punk, you kind of wanted, if you didn't get the KO in the first round, you kind of wanted to beat him up a good bit across the fight. But you didn't want to give him any lasting damage because he simply wasn't a fighter that should be in the octagon with you.
Correct.
I assume you're not going to take the same approach with Dean.
Of course not, because this is not the same scenario. That was a scenario where you have someone who is trying something out, who, and again, not in a disrespectful way, but it's just what it is. Like, he's not a fighter, you know, he's an entertainer, he's a performer. And so I treated that as such. Like, I understand what Dean Barry he's an actual fighter. He's competed. He has stoppages, and this dude is coming there. He's coming here to knock me out. He's already put the bounty on my head, and he has the ability to do it. And that's the difference between, you know, Punk and Barry. But Punk, he couldn't knock me out. I would have to, like, stand there with my eyes closed and my hands behind my back, you know, to get knocked out. This kid is dangerous, and I'm aware of that, but I'm dangerous too.
Now, with Dean, without giving any away of your strategies or anything, any shots that you're particularly going to place, how do you feel the fight is going to progress with Dean?
Man, it's just going to be me punching him a lot and just going to be punching him more and more. Like, that's really, look, people know what I'm coming to do. They know I'm coming to use my boxing because that's why I excel the most. And you just have to stop it. And I don't feel that Dean has the skill set to stop my striking or my boxing. So I'm just going to punch a dude in the face a bunch.
Now, can you give me any predictions on the fight?
Knockout. I thought about it last night. It spoke to me. I was second round knockout. But that's typically what all my – if you look at all my knockouts in my fights, they've all been second round knockouts. But I've always called second round knockouts. When I feel – I just have a feeling. When I feel that knockout is going to come in a fight, that's just me, second round.
Second round KO.
Yeah.
All right.
Thank you very much for speaking to us, Mike. I really appreciate it. Mike the Truth Jackson, everybody. Thank you very much for talking to us. Good luck on the fight. We'll be watching. Have a great day.
You too.